Here we go. Now I can get that out of the way. Ephesians chapter 5. Let me join you. Let me get my Bible open. Oops. You're going to need this very helpful slide. Without it, you would be lost. Okay. I sent out the final copy of Ephesians material. So you got it all. That's my 2 cents delivered to you for help in the future if you want to look back at it. But more than anything, do your own study and your own thoughts, your own meditation. Ephesians chapter 4, we have this new life in Christ. Brethren, this affects, we talked about this last week. We're putting away falsehood while speaking truth with our neighbor. We're being angry but not sinning and not allowing Satan to take advantage of us. The thief is no longer stealing, but he's doing honest work and helping those in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, he says, but something that builds up and that fits the occasion. We discussed that. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Let bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, slander be put away from you, along with malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as Christ forgave us. It's not that I don't believe that there have been genuine issues, like in local churches, like a topic comes up and it can just split a group up. I mean, I've you know, everyone knows that. But I will say, I do think many times, if not the majority of time, the problem we're having is we're having people that are not Christ-like yet. And they don't know how to handle issues. And we don't like to hear that. Like, well, it's your attitude. No, it's not the attitude, it's the issue. No, the issue could have been handled, but your attitude got in the way. Yeah? But see, we don't like that, because that forces me to look in the mirror. It forces me to look at me. We don't like that. You know, marriages break up. I'll get you. Marriages will break up. You don't want to hear this, that you caused that marriage to break up. You don't want to hear that, do you? Well, they did this, they did that. Well, they shouldn't have, but I got to tell you, you were begging for it. We're gonna get into marriage. But many reasons why marriages will break up, because we don't have Christ-centered people. You're trying to disassociate your role as a husband versus a role as a son of God. If your role as a son of God is on par, then on point, you will be a good husband. But we don't think about that. That's why I'm having to pray. I need to slow my mind down for a moment. And I know, and I sincerely mean that. I thank you so much. You guys are hustling. Andy, how many hours did you say you worked this past week? Like 80 hours or something. And Marsha, she's not lazy. Y'all know Marsha. And y'all are doing these things, and so you can support people like me to study all they want. Right? Hey, did you talk to anyone today? Sean, I was so busy. I mean, it's not that I didn't want to. I couldn't. Did you get your study in? Sean, I was working from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Sean, did you get your study in after 7 p.m.? After I worked my 50, 60-hour week, 70, 80-hour week. You see, I'm thinking of these things. I want to think about them because it's right. It's good. But, brethren, we can't leave Jesus at home. I don't know why I keep getting fired at work. Well, maybe because you haven't put on a cross yet. Well, no, it's always someone else, isn't it? It's just always someone else. It's always someone else. We gotta stop it. And that begins with me. And so what we're doing is we're digging into who we are. And we're going to talk about something this morning that was a problem from the beginning of time. It was a problem 2,000 years ago, and it's a problem today. Let's continue. Oh, no, let me get Kyle, and then I'll move on. Sorry.
Yeah, based on how you started, Ryan, you had said that individuals are different from each other, and that's what we're talking about. Essentially imitating Christ. And there's a point in that I would say yes, but also maturity, right, a spectrum, but also if they've had no experience in an issue, how is God helping them to understand in this context? Mm-hmm. Where do you start?
Yeah.
Like with an issue, don't just go into pointing fingers, or, you know what I mean? But it's, how do I imitate God if I've never experienced an issue within the body? And now I'm trying to understand, okay, how do I act like Christ when I may have never had an issue before and I'm learning?
Yeah. That's very good, Kyle. So just practical advice and practical thinking through that. Well, let me first of all say this. If you're up in age, you need to be acting better. First of all, let me start with that. When you're 80, 70, 60s, 50s, and you still don't know how to have just basic control of yourself, shame on you. Now, if you're new in Christ, then we can understand that. But I will tell you, even the world should have just taught you, like, calm down a little. Be a little, I mean, you would think that just the world would have humbled you a little bit, but some people aren't. So first of all, let me tell you that my expectation, especially those in the household of God, I expect those that are older to know how to behave more properly. Am I saying anything that's shocking? Okay. And I say that because that can cause a lot of issue. So you expect Rod, now, sorry, picking on you guys, but you expect Rod to act appropriately and to be able to act wisely and to control himself and to exercise wisdom. And you expect that from Billy. We chose these men, and they're not the only ones, but I'm just saying practically, right? At North Palm. They need to have cool heads, and they need to be patient, and they need to think before they speak. Which, so let me say something to the younger crowd. Think before you speak. We're our culture, we're having some issues right now where, and this has always been an issue, but it is happening. I think it's a problem. We're having a problem with authority. Every generation has struggled with that, but we're struggling with it. And we have a culture to where we're kind of leaving this impression that everyone is, like, people that are older don't know what they're talking about, and the younger generation is smarter than everyone. Now, everyone who's younger, we all struggle with that. But what I'm saying is you need to realize we have a cultural issue. I'll put it bluntly. We are allowing children to come to the adult table as if they have a voice, and they're not ready for it yet. So if I may, I'm being very blunt this morning. If you've not been through something, listen more and speak less. Is that fair to say? Let me also say this. There is a difference between approaching something you've never seen before and fumbling it, okay? In other words, maybe a lack of wisdom. Versus bad behavior. Being young and unexperienced never does what? It does not excuse bad behavior. Do you know whenever you're supposed to be respectful? At all ages. And we need to be teaching our young kiddos to be respectful. And so, by the way, and those that are older, you should know that we all fumble through life experiences, and you know that even given the best effort, just because we simply haven't been through a thing, we don't always approach it the best way. And so to Kyle's point, there's got to be patience. But see, that's the thing. If you're older, that shouldn't be a shocker
to you, you should be ready to see that, and you should be able to gently navigate someone who is fumbling through life. And again, this happens in what area? Every area of life. So we need the young people to have open ears whenever you're receiving counsel, whether that's how you have your career, how you deal with management, how you're dealing with your friendships, yes, how you're dealing in the local body, how you're dealing in your marriage. But what that also means is that that's got to be a two-way street. We have to have young people that are asking those who are older for help, and we also have to have those that are older engaging those who are younger in help. Again, Titus, the older women are to teach the younger women, right? How to love their husbands and children working at home, pure conduct, right? All those things. It's got to be a two-way street. But brethren, what I'm saying is that who I am as a person affects every relationship and atmosphere I enter into. That's what I'm saying. And we have got to stop compartmentalizing our lives in such a way.
One of the things we struggle with, look at this. So verse chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So there's again a reset at who we look to, and he sets the bar. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, no foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. So let me tell you some struggles that our brethren had 2,000 years ago, and it's no different today. They had problems in the area of sex and greed. Do you see that? They get caught up in the ESV says sexual immorality because it covers the whole gamut of anything that's sexually perverse. And not only are you doing them, but what's coming out of their mouth too? You know what kind of? So it's the crude joking, it's the talking about it. So it's the thing you're doing and it's the thing you're talking about. Boy, I got something that's like super uncomfortable to admit, though praise God, it's so much better. But like whenever I fell away, you know, I remember whenever my parents split up, I went through a phase where I wasn't hearing bad language from Billy or David or my mom or dad. But already from a young age, and I didn't realize what it was, but you know, there's a lot of hurt and anger. And then I was listening to music, and I was, you know. I remember whenever I was 12, I was baptized whenever I was 12, and I remember coming out of the water thinking, please don't think of a bad word, please don't think of a bad word. Because from the age of 9, when my parents split up, to the time I was 12, I was starting to develop bad language, you know. And then I remember being 17 and listening, you know, to, in my black F-150, having memorized Ludacris' Word of Mouth CD and just cussing like a sailor. And I was attracted to the most crude comedians and, you know, can I level with you? That was hard getting out of. And even today, crude humor is still funny to me. Like, it's not a thing, it's a thing that I have to stay away from,
Because it's not like if I'm around it, I'm just naturally like, oh, that just, because some of the, it's interesting. Some of the sins that the Lord has helped me fight have actually become, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth, and some of them have not. Are you like me in that way? Some of the things I run from and I have no appeal, some of the things I'm going, that thing still has an appeal. Like a bad word in the right time, in the right setting, I'm like, that's objectively funny. That was funny. Like, man, I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying, like, this is what's going on with me. I'm going, that's funny. And I've got to stay away from that. Is it just me? Have you gone through, and God, like, we don't have to go through this, but have you ever gone through, you realize what state you were because of the movies you've recommended to people? But now you have to say, like, oh, but you need it on Good Angel. That's like, that's, you know what I mean? Like, because I saw Blair Witch when I was like 17, 18, whenever it came out. And I looked up like a couple of years ago, and that thing had like 300 or 350 F-words in it. And I don't even remember. I know, guys, I'm not proud of this. I'm just saying, this is what I'm dealing with. And I'm like, I don't even remember having bad language. I can tell you where I was at in my life by what? The movies that I was watching. And even now, like, I'm a weird guy. Like, I like scary movies. Now, I cut out bad language, and I don't want nudity and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, there are things that... Because it's more, well, talk to me for a moment. Is he just getting caught up in language? What do y'all think about this? Yes, sir.
Well, I think it's even more subtle at times. I know my challenge is YouTube. There's a lot of good stuff on YouTube, but there's a lot of trash. And so I claim that my generation has the best music of any generation ever.
Because they do.
They do.
Continue. Yes.
But I found myself through the years listening and singing songs. George Harrison's My Sweet Lord. I sang that for years, and I mean, want to sing it now? Let's sing it. We can do it. Until I realized that most of that song is praising a deity of the, I believe it's the Indian, I mean, one of these polytheistic Far Eastern. I mean, Jai Garu Deva Om is some statement to a, and I'm singing it.
Yeah.
No, there's no F word. Mm. Okay, maybe I've moved beyond that, and by the way, I've struggled with the same thing that you have, and I appreciate you sharing that, but now I'm moving into the more subtleties of, it may not be as so obvious, but I still need to let go, leave it alone, because it just, it's not what the Ephesians were encouraged to do. It's not what we should do. And it's so easy to get wrapped up in that. Elders get wrapped up in that. And deacons and preachers, and we all get wrapped up in it.
And I was talking about language. Brother, do you need me to say anything about pornography, or can we just go like it? I mean, you've heard pornography is an issue, yeah? I mean, that has wrecked our culture. Pornography has just wrecked the world. I'm one of these guys, if we could rewind time, I think the internet and all of this has been junk. I wish we could go back pre-internet. I mean, we're here now to deal with it. Yes.
There's a HBO series about like Band of Brothers, and there is language, but it feels kind of different because it's not.
Zach, speak up, please. Speak up.
I feel it's not. There's a show called Band of Brothers. It's about World War II, an easy company, and it's a historical depiction of what actually. Of course, they're soldiers, so they swear. I don't like it, but the show's not glorifying swearing. It's there because those are what people do, and if you want an accurate depiction of these people who are fighting for our countries, it's there. But then you have, like, comedians who swear for the sake of swearing. point is irreverency is what's being praised. Not because it's an accurate depiction or anything like that. Obviously, encouraging, inspiring, or anything like that. But you can also take it with the point is you know, what is it glorifying? What is the point of the mediums that we're watching? What is the point of, like, you can go into a medical textbook, you can find nudity, but you don't think, oh, here we go, something for me to get excited about. No, you know that it's there because there is a very specific purpose. It is not pornography, right? But there's a difference between that and obviously pornography. What is it praising? What is it glorifying? What is the purpose? What is the point? For some people, it might be even that simple thing that they should stay away from it, right? But what is it trying to draw your heart to? Are you somebody who wants to become a paramedic, you want to save people's lives, so you're going to end up seeing these things, you're going to work on a cadaver, you know, somebody's going to be naked in front of you? Or are you just trying to satiate the flesh? So I think that's a big distinction when you're looking at it. Everyone has to measure it. Like, for me, alcohol doesn't hold much temptation, right? But I'm not going to go into a bar. I'm not going to do anything like that. But my cook was something that contains alcohol. It doesn't mean I'm encouraging alcoholism. No. But there might be some people where they should absolutely stay away from that, 100%. Because they're going to get into the cooking chair or whatever have you. What glorifies the flesh and what glorifies God? Nothing in and of itself is a sin, but everything.
No, I do appreciate your comment. And listen, I'm not, just to be clear, I certainly don't want to seem like I'm, you know, anyone's answering to me. I wouldn't want to answer to some at all. And I know that there's going to be some different standards here, and I'm not trying to do that. But what I will say is this, that we need to be honest with ourselves. And we need to. Boy, it's that classic question. I kind of hate it too, like the what would Jesus do? You know? And the reason why that was a little difficult, because I don't even know if I could be normal around Jesus. Like, I don't know if I could just small talk even with Jesus and not feel like it's wrong. You know what I mean? So that's a little difficult. But I will say, like, you know, even in some of those situations, well, it's kind of the nature of the war. And I do get what you're saying. But if you're sitting there watching a movie and it's throwing out the F word of every other sentence, like, I wouldn't watch that with Jesus. And I think he'd probably go, we're going to keep watching this? You know what I mean? So we're going to have to think about this, because what I'm really saying is that it's getting to who we are. Because out of the mouth, it's proceeding where? And we need to figure out, is this like worldly? Or is this godly? And if you're like me, it's going to challenge you. There are things about me that I'm still uncomfortable about. There are some things about me that I just genuinely have, like, different standards. Like, I'm a big Halloween guy. Some of y'all hate it. And you probably do privately, like, judge me a little bit on that. And I'm okay with that. Now, I wouldn't want to put you in a bad situation, but, like, there are things like that, like, I'm just okay with it. Because in my mind, I see it for what I see it. But do I have the ability to say, but could you be wrong? That's an interesting thing. Like, are you only just defending? See, that's, that. Like, am I willing to go there as an example? Yes, sir.
And then when the music.
Yes.
Every one of his albums, because I used to know all of his albums.
It's again, because you know what's happening with all these artists, and it crosses every genre of every decade, although I'll tell you, it seems like it's getting pretty intense these days. They're revealing their hearts. And so to your point also, now we talked about language, but let's not forget, but what are you saying? Even just what's your message, right? And we have to be thinking about these things, and I appreciate that. Colin and Billy.
All right, so you're beating me up because of the things that obviously are part of my past, but now I'm new to Christ. I put on Christ, and I want to change. I want to put these things away. How do I balance that with what I'm reading, which is there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse gesturing, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, well, I understand that people stumble, but is this something that I continuously tell myself?
How do I get through this? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like I'm stumbling every day because of the reading, or I'm stumbling every day because I haven't learned how to put these things away.
Yeah,
I have not learned. So how do you encourage that person? Because, you know, I guess I'm just going to struggle with this forever.
Yeah.
And what is God telling them? If you do not put these things away, then you're not a part of me.
Yeah.
We can't believe that and still live in this world today. But we can separate ourselves. So I'm just wondering how you would look at this as, okay, now encourage me.
Yeah, so in one of the most obvious, and he gets into his text that you just said, you got to start separating yourself. So you got to start separating yourself from people. You got to turn off the radio. You got to turn the music off. And you got to replace it. So you need to replace that with a better message. You need to replace that with a better company. So just getting down to it, like, and even from myself. But I'll tell you, even now, that's still a reaction to something. You have to be convicted. And that's what I think it is, brethren. You have to be convicted that this is not godly, and that God does not, he does not smile at that. He frowns upon it. It is not, he doesn't recognize that. That's not, my child doesn't act that way. Like, we need to feel the disappointment. And by the way, there's a time for you know, let's not be silly. It is totally appropriate to say, so you're saying that God would be disappointed in me? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And Kyle, really more than anything, because I think that's the key to all of these sins. The love of God and the sacrifice of God and his goodness has to motivate us. And if there's something else outside of that being our main motivator, matter of fact, I'll probably repeat that this morning, then we have put something in front of the cross. And I'm nervous now as to why you've changed. Why have you changed? And so I think we need to remove those things that we're trying to get away from. We need to replace them with something that is positive. But we do that because of the conviction and the grace of God. We have got to start feeling shame again. Yeah. Yes, well, actually, sorry, I'm out. Let me get Billy, and then Peggy. Sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So, obviously, we spent a lot of time on this, and I want to bring it forward. But
this is big, right? Because this is like an everyday thing that people are like caught up in.
Book every week.
used to it.
We've got to make sure that we're not making excuses for ourselves for bad behavior. And we have to think outside of what we're used to. And I'm talking to myself here. This is something that I'm working on as well. Just because, I mean, if God asks us, yeah, I don't want you listening to any of this. I don't want you watching any of this. I don't want you reading any of this. And by the way, how do you have so much time on your hands to do all that? What I think about a lot, because I do like to read a lot in particular, is God at Judgment Day going to show a chart and say, here's how many pages of garbage you read during your lifetime, and here's how many times you read my word. Here's how many hours you spent watching movies and television shows, making music, listening to music. Is that part of my accounting of how I made the best use of my time? So we have got to, and again, some of this is personal judgment, as we've said, for each individual. But just because this is what we're used to, people were not used to this even 100 years ago. And there are many things in our life that we are not thinking about. And that's on us. We're being ignorant. We're putting our head in the sand. And we're acting like this is just normal. This is what people do. There are places on the planet right now where people don't even do what we do.
Oh, sure. Right.
Let alone every century in the past. We've got to really be honest about this stuff and really take a hard look, because our standards have changed. And it's not for the better. We are to be pure. And so your question is, would you sit down and watch this with Jesus? Well, first of all, as you said, he might turn to you and say, hey, what are we doing here? And secondly, he'd say, well, I don't have time to watch that because I got to go pray. I have to go work. Or I got to get to sleep because I got an early day tomorrow. The whole thing's got to be assessed. And it's something that each of us has to do individually. I'm not saying we need to have some blanket rules for everybody to follow. I'm saying I have to look at myself and make an honest evaluation.
Yeah.
Myself and then for my family.
We don't want to add to the world's problems in any of these realms. We need to protect our hearts from them because of who we are. And so this area of greed or sexual immorality, either by what we're wearing, how we're talking, what we're doing, all of this, to give us back any attention.
I was just gonna say there's a difference in putting it away and keeping it away. I mean, you could make the decision that is wrong and I shouldn't be doing it, and you have scriptures to back it up. The devil knows your weakness, and he knows that is a weak spot for you, and it's going to keep coming back and coming back. And every day you get a little bit stronger in it. You know, when you first get out of it, you kind of think, well, this would hurt. And then you realize, yes, it does. And so the next time that comes around, then you don't go into it as quickly. But even at my advanced stage, as much as I hate to admit that, even at my advanced stage, there are certain areas that I have to not necessarily fight anymore, but be aware of.
Thank you, Ms. Brady.
It's easy to fall back into who you are.
Yes.
And I think God is disappointed with us when those thoughts can come through. I think he is proud of us when the way we react to it.
And can I say, because I know we're probably Yes, because I'm going to get Mitch, but can I just say something quickly about that? Realistically, because you were answering also to Kyle's question whenever he brought that up. Can I say something? We need to expect those young in the faith to stumble in this. And that's not contradictory to what Miss Peggy said. And I also believe that while God obviously is never happy whenever we do some of these things, your God sees in you the difference of someone that is walking towards him who stumbles versus someone who's giving lip service and they do not. And that's also, we have a word for that, and it's called sanctification. It is literally a process of being separated from the world. So the reason why I say that is because, like, for example, talk to a lot of guys getting caught up in pornography. Well, let me tell you what's going to happen. They don't quit it cold turkey. Well, that's wonderful if they do, but 9 times out of 10, 10 times out of 10, they don't quit it cold turkey. And if you don't talk to them in a realistic way to walk them through that process, they are going to feel like a failure every day. They can't ever feel like their head is above water. They feel like God is what towards them? Angry? Do you think they're praying to him? No. So they become paralyzed. Versus someone who says, well, obviously God doesn't want this, but he's so proud of you for fighting against the flesh, for fighting against Satan, for leaning on him. And he knows your frame, he knows that you're made of dust, and he can be proud of you for fighting the fight though you fail. And that's so critical to understand when we're counseling others and for ourselves. I'm sorry, that's just the thinking that we can mention.
This is all really great stuff because it's a real thing that we all deal with.
Daily.
The first part of Romans 12. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's a call for a continuing focus on trying not to be conformed and to be going toward God and be transformed, to be changed by how you think about stuff. And the more you're hanging out like this, the more you're hanging out in scripture, the more you're hanging out in praying to God, those things are in process.
Absolutely.
And the world will tell you things, and you'll hear them coming out of your mouth, that's just the way that I am. This is too hard. This is. I'm just not making progress. I must be in a state where there's no hope. That's all worldly wisdom trying to conform you. Because God has told us that we are going to change. We have changed. We are new creations.
Yes.
And that we're going to change. And we have hope in the fact that God's promised that. And walk with him. And rely on the grace of God. Because he will continue to give you grace. But don't think of it as him winking at sin. That's a lie also. Oh, he must not really care about this. Well, he cares about it deeply. He wants the best for you. And so, take hope in the fact that he is working with you and on you and in you as you walk with him.
Amen. And I do hope that we take away, our time is up, I think, but I hope we take away from this the balance. I hope we balance this. You know, it's not a bad thing if you walk away today going like, oh, I may need to change. Well, then praise God. Praise God. Okay? But we're certainly not trying to act like, you know, what have you heard today? I hope what you've heard is that we're all acknowledging it's a struggle. But a person should know which kingdom we're a part of, yes? Don't let your coworker find out one day that you worship somewhere and they go, oh, you're a Christian? All right. Let's stop there.